It's time to get chiseled with Rob Hamadani.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chiseled. And why do we call it Chiseled? Because we're all a work in progress. Again, I'm Rob Commodore. I'm your host. I'm also the author of the book, Better Than You Think. And today I have a guest on the show with me. His name is Greg Kettner from Walla Walla, Washington. Greg, he's a TEDx speaker. He's a work happy coach. We're going to get into that. And trainer, he helps organizations increase revenue, retain their top employees, and he creates a culture, helps create a culture of mental health mindedness with his work happy program. Over his 27-year sales career, he sold over $12 million of products, services to the National Hockey League, and I'm a big sports fan, Major League Soccer, Nike, and SAP. The power of laughter, Greg says, the power of laughter empowers, inspires organizations and audiences around the world to be the very best they could be. His passionate stories will engage you, make you laugh, and touch a tender part of your heart, too. So I'm looking forward to hearing maybe a story or two, Greg. He's also a world-class connector. He's had some beers. Check this out. We're going to drop a few names here. He's had some beers with Wayne Gretzky, shared the stage with Robin Williams, and almost knocked over Queen Elizabeth, too. I want to hear more about that. He's worked with companies such as Coca-Cola, Ford, SAP again, ICIMS, Advantage, Lever, Vizier, Sun Life Financial, and the Vancouver 2010 Olympic Games have brought Greg in to speak at their event. So, Greg, welcome to the show, and thank you for this. This is cool.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, Rob. I appreciate it. And our mutual connection connected us, and here we are.
Yeah, so a lot of times I have realtors on the show. I'd say about 70-75% are realtors, and a realtor connected us. So Greg is not in real estate, and people might be saying, thank God, not a realtor, right? It's all good. But great. So I'm curious to know, that's the thing that stands out the most to me is this Work Happy project or movement, whatever you want to call it. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure, absolutely. So, like you read my bio, sales my whole career. And had recently moved down to Walla Walla. I got married. And apparently once you get married, you have to live in the same town. I didn't know that. That was in the fine print.
No long distance relationships.
Yeah, right. And so moved to Walla Walla and was working director of membership services for our Chamber of Commerce. And I finished a phone call with my boss. And he said, oh, by the way, I eliminated your position. And I said, are you joking? This is obviously a joke. He goes, no, you're non-essential. And I tried to tell him that he was non-essential, right? If your ship's already burning, go down with it. and so within a minute, he's like, pick up your things tomorrow. You're done. And I was stunned. And so I had to walk. Becky's working upstairs. I walked up and I'm like, hey, I just want to let you know I lost my job. No fault of my own. They eliminated the position. And we were both kind of just like, okay, don't understand or whatnot. So I went golfing because I was pretty upset. And then that next week, we were just, sitting around talking. And she said to me, she goes, well, what do you really want to do? And I said, well, I miss the stage. I love being around people and making people laugh. And I love sales. And she came up with the idea. She said, well, you're always Mr. Positive. You can make anyone laugh. Why don't you help other people work happy? And I was like, that's it. And so the next morning I got up in my pajamas and I started research on LinkedIn and the web and who's helping people work happy. And there were few and far between.
Wow. So what I didn't mention in the introduction of Greg is that he's been a comedian for 12 years. And so you hear a couple of these jokes along the way, I'm sure. So Greg, he likes to make people happy. And I think when he was talking to Becky, his wife, by the way, mentioned he's married and has his stepdaughter, Rachel. And what I didn't mention also, that connector that we have is Kate Johnston from Washington. So she's the realtor. Hey, Kate. So I'm sure Kate's she'll be listening.
And thank you for mentioning that Kate and I both have the same birthday.
Well, so for the audience, this is weird, crazy, funny, whatever you would call it. So just the other day, you know how you go on your Facebook and you see today's birthdays Well, I know Kate and I've met Greg, and it's funny on the like one right after the other pop up on Facebook is today's birthday is Greg Kechner, January 15th, and Kate Johnson, January 15th. So I called Kate up and said, Kate, did you know Greg's birthday is on the 15th? She goes, no, pretty cool. And I'm like, Greg, did you know Kate's birthday is on the 15th? He goes, no, cool. Yeah. So anyway, the connection there, they both celebrate the same birthday. So that's pretty cool. So you were telling me how the you lost your job. You were pissed, so you went golfing. I don't know. Yeah. Some might do other things and go golfing, right? And then you did some research and you found this work happy thing. So I think there was some more involved in how that came about. If you want to share a little bit more about that, because you said most people aren't happy in their jobs, and you don't even speaking. And doing this for 3 years, just under 3 years. And what's really cool for the audience to know is that Greg has found his passion and his purpose. And within 3 short years, he's doing really well with it. So I think that leads you to believe when you find your purpose and then lean into it, good things will happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And and I've always, been positive, Mr. Happy-go-lucky, but probably the two best jobs I had before what I'm doing now, one was working for the Vancouver Canucks. I was young, single, part of our package. They gave us season tickets, so I was obviously a lot better looking when I had tickets for the games. I got a lot more dates. I think it was the tickets. And the other job that it was good money. We took the building from a season ticket base of 7,000 up to 16, and we basically sold ourselves out of a job. And the other job that I had that I absolutely loved was I got a tour around North America doing stand-up comedy. And, I got to share the stage with guys like Robin Williams and Norm Macdonald, Gilbert Gottfried, Jim Gaffigan, opening for these guys. But the downside was it didn't pay that much. So it took me about 6 years to figure out I like money more than I like stand-up. But now I've been able to combine the two and my parents were missionaries. My dad was a missionary doctor. And so we grew up with this act of service, right? Serving others, the less fortunate, helping other people because of, what we had, we need to share that with people. And so it's always been in my head. I finally grew up 4 or 5 years ago, got married, and just found that this is my lane, is helping people. Every time I speak, every time I get on a podcast, I'll get a text from people, hey, thank you so much. It might just be one little thing, Rob, right, that resonates with people. But if I can leave any wisdom or any stories or lessons from what I've been through to help other people work happy, because, we spend, two-thirds of our day, a lot of us, working. And we're not happy. It's a grind.
So the whole work happy movement wasn't in the vision 4 years ago.
No.
And you've been doing stand-up comedy for a little while now. What got you into the stand-up comedy?
I got dared one night after a hockey game. We'd gone to a pub and we were planning on going home, and we walked past another pub and it had open mic night to night. And my buddy's like, oh, you're always great at telling jokes. And I was like, yeah, like, one-on-one or street jokes kind of. And I said, there's no way in hell I would get up there in front of an audience. So we went in and we listened to a couple of people, and in my own head, I'm like, I think I could do this. And so after a couple of rounds, I got enough courage. I went up and I just told a couple of stories. It wasn't stand-up. I was just sharing some funny things that had happened. I wish I could remember what it was, but it was such a rush being up there. I went up to the guy who ran the place and said, when's your next one? He goes, we're here every Wednesday night. So every Wednesday night, I went back and I started, going on YouTube, how to write jokes, and would watch other guys. And I got my 5 minutes, then I had 15, and then the comedy club booked me to MC. And then I just worked my way up, and then I started going on the road, and it was fun. Stand-up comedy is great when you're on the stage. It's the in-between, right? And when you're only doing two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, it's lonely.
What do you mean by that? It's lonely and it's the in-between. Talk to me about that.
Well, you go on a road trip. I was working for Yuck Yucks, and I remember this vividly. I was dating Becky at the time, And I was like, you know, I think this could be the one. So I went on this road trip, and I was gone for 6.5 weeks, sleeping on buddies' couches, eating top ramen. I came back with $900 after wow. 6 weeks. And I was like, yeah, this is not for me. So wow. came back, got a real job, worked my way out of debt, and then got married. And it's been good. I was just telling somebody the other day that this is the first time in my life where I haven't had to worry about money. Like, I love what I do. Like, when I went to the Canucks, yeah, I wanted to work there, but it was good money, you know?
Right.
And after, you know, I ran out of money doing stand-up, I had to go get another real job again because I needed money. And now yeah. every day I get to talk to people like you and other people. It's overwhelming. It's humbling, but it's so rewarding because people I know now can walk away or they'll read a post and they're smiling and they're happy. And it's crazy because I don't know where we lose it as adults, but kids laugh up to 300 times a day. Adults, 17.
Huh.
So are we so stressed because we don't laugh, or we don't laugh because we're stressed?
Exactly. Yeah. You make me, I mean, obviously this is a Chiseled podcast. Two things yeah. come to mind here. Yeah. So you gave us the evolution of Greg Kekner, right? And his Work yeah. Happy Project. And Chiseled, you're knocking off the pieces. What evolves is this statue of Greg Kekner, right?
Yeah.
And that's so cool. And the other thing you mentioned there is you talk about the kids and the laughter versus the adults. Yeah. You know, in the Bible, God talks about, you know, be like little children, right?
Yeah.
And they don't have that fear. They have the faith. They have that hope that good things are going to happen. But at some point in our path, our journey, we get this thing. We take on this thing called responsibility.
Yeah.
And we start to worry about paying our debt, paying our bills, and even having food with our meals. Right.
Yeah.
So that's great. So then I got to ask this question. You're in stand-up comedy. You took one to Dare and you started feeling it.
Yeah.
And you talked about the lonely piece and in between, but what about was there ever a time when you're on stage and or I'm sure there was, and you see this happen sometimes on TV when you're watching the stand-up comics, you crack a joke, you do the punchline and you get nothing.
Yeah.
What's that feel like?
It was a show in Vancouver, and it was a restaurant bar kind of thing. And, I was, nobody was getting a lot of laughs. I went up and I felt like I was just like, well, this is not working. And it was really dark. So, I mean, I could see that there's people, but I really couldn't see their faces. And found out later, you know, after the lights came on, that probably about 80% of the crowd was the Japanese exchange students who didn't know English.
So, oh, gosh.
Why is this John Goodman guy talking in a funny language?
So that's why they weren't laughing.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I guess I've had the good fortune or people just, I'm mostly a storyteller, but I haven't really got up. I remember one night I was hosting a show. and it's funny, but it was kind of mean of me. So when I was hosting an open mic show at Yuck Yucks, I was the MC, which means you go out for the first 10 or 15 minutes, you warm people up. Here's the bathrooms. Here's what's going to happen. We got five comedians tonight. They're each going to do 5 minutes or whatnot. And this one kid went out and I talked to him before. And he goes, I've never done this before. I just want to try it. And I said, all right, well, here's a couple pointers. Step up to the microphone, you know, just tell your story and then get off. So he walked out there and I could see him through the curtains, and he was about 4 feet from the microphone. So nobody could hear him when he started talking. And so I kind of yelled through the curtain. I'm like, step up to the microphone. He kind of turned around. He's like, oh, okay. So I got up the microphone. Didn't help. He just didn't have the chops. So the audience, right? I'd worked with the audience up. They're having a great show, blah, blah, blah. And this kid comes out and gets one golf clap as he walked off stage. And so I said, well, there's good news and bad news. The good news is we have four more comedians. The bad news is he was the best one.
I thought you were saying the good news is he's done.
Yeah. We never saw him again.
Oh my gosh. So when you were telling me your story there real quick, you reminded me of the road of Steve Harvey. You know who Steve Harvey is, right? Yep. And because I read his book and I remember hearing that he tells a story. And if you look him up on YouTube, you've seen it too, about how he started off and how he was sleeping in cars, you know, in between gigs and how it was lonely and stuff like that. So have you ever looked up in any of his stuff to you know, I guess look into some of
his I haven't followed Steve Harvey much, but I was a fan of Bill Cosby. But the guys I like now are like Nate Bargatze, Brian Regan. But yeah, those are actual true stories. I mean, there's a lot of when I was touring and working, you know, you stand on another comedian's couches, right? If you're out in, you know, Timbuktu. And there's a comedian that lives there. Everybody's sleeping at this guy's house.
Wow. So you connected with, well, let me ask, how did you connect with Robin Williams? How did that come about?
Oh yeah. No, it was by accident. I was doing an open mic. It was in Vancouver, a place called the Urban Well, and they had a 7 and a 9 o'clock show. And the 7 o'clock was for the rookies. And then the pros that were at the show, they would vote on who had the best set on the first show, got to open the 9 o'clock show. And so we were there, maybe 5-10 people in the audience. There was a bartender. Nobody had to pay to come watch the early show, right? It was just more for us to work our acts out. And I was third on the bill, and halfway through my 5-minute set, the door opened up and in walked Robin Williams. And in my head, I'm like, holy cow, that's my comedian hero. He just walked in, sat down, grabbed a beer, and he started laughing at my jokes.
So he walks in right while you're in the middle of your program.
Right. And I was just like deer in the headlights. So I finished my set. And as I walked off stage, I thought, you know, how am I going to make this memorable for him?
Uh-huh.
And so I pretended that I had no idea who he was.
No way.
So I grabbed the beer, came and sat down beside me, just started talking to him and said, hey, where are you from? He's like, San Francisco. I said, what are you doing in Vancouver? He's like, oh, we're filming a movie, Night at the Museum. I said, well, that sounds like a fun job. Are you the camera guy? Are you in catering? What do you do?
And you knew who he was the whole time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And he kind of looked at me like, Prince Harry has no idea who I am. So a fat Prince Harry. And so finally, you know, we were talking and finally I started laughing. I'm like, dude, I know who you are. And he goes, oh, that's good. And he said something to me that night that I'll never forget. He said, Greg, you're funny, which gave me a huge vote of confidence, right? Uh-huh. Even if he didn't think I was funny, him saying that, I was like, all right, I'm legit now.
Right.
But the other thing he said, he goes, always keep making people laugh because you'll never know the difference you make in someone else's life. He goes, you're never going to hear about it, but it's going to, you know. And I was like, okay. So I heard what he said, but I really didn't understand it until later. And then he went on the 9 o'clock show. They said, hey, can you do 10, 15 minutes? And I said, well, do you have 10, 15 minutes? He went up, he did an hour and a half. It was impromptu. The bar is packed. The bouncers are charging $20 to get people in. Everybody's it was crazy.
And you're the one that got him up on stage.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I was talking to him, but the guy running the bar came up.
Oh, okay.
To go up. And so afterwards, I got a picture with him, and that was it. I saw him a couple more times in photographic memory. But the night I realized what he meant, probably about 3 years later, I was running my own show. I was the MC again, so I was bringing comics up and down. And at the very beginning of the show, a father and son walked in. They sat in the front row. They put their feet on the stage, had their arms crossed, drinking a beer. And they didn't look like they wanted to be at a comedy show. Like, we're holding them hostage. And so I started talking to him a little bit and, you know, trying to get him involved. And in my head, I was like, all right, I'm going to make these guys laugh. I'm going to give them the opportunity to laugh. Instead of being up there wanting to get the accolades or the laughter, I wanted to give them an environment where these two could laugh. And so finally, by the end of the show, the other comics were coming up and they started laughing. They're having a good time at the end of the show. And so I went up to them afterwards just to talk and say hi. And I said, how'd you hear about the show? And he said, the dad said, well, we've been walking by the show every Thursday night for the last 8 weeks. I said, 8 weeks? Because it was in a hotel lobby bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, did you move here? You just waiting to find a house? He goes, no, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. So she's in the hospital across the street. My son and I take care of her every day, go visit her, take her to appointments, do whatever we can. And at the end of the day, we're so tired, we just eat and fall into bed. And so I just, the next question, I looked at the boy and I said, hey, how's mom doing? And the kid started to cry. And I was like, oh, no. And he goes, mom died this morning. So here I am with two strangers. We're hugging. Now all three of us are crying.
Jeez, it
was. And finally, the dad got it together. And he said, you know what, Greg? Thanks for making us laugh. It's the first time in 8 weeks we felt somewhat normal. And I was like, that's it, Robin Williams. That's what he meant. Right?
Yeah.
And I was lucky that I got to see it. Most people won't.
But and can you repeat that line again, what Robin Williams told you?
He said, always make people laugh. You'll never know the difference you make in someone's life with laughter.
Mm. You know, with that, thanks for sharing that story, because that's a powerful story. And we were sitting here laughing and joking, and that's, I mean, my heart was sinking when you were telling the story. But it did remind me of the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, because you never know what's going on in people's lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a story about the I think it was the dad and the kids on a train, and they weren't behaving, and somebody's watching and the guy, the father was just in another world, and the person that was being bothered asked him, you know, he said something about, you know, keeping your kids under control, and he basically just says their mom just died today. Yeah. And that changed the guy's whole perspective of, okay, now I understand why. So you never know what's going on in people's lives, but you're able to make a difference like that. But so another question I have for you is, when you first got into comedy, was it about you or was it about them? Because it's like you said it a minute ago about the accolades. So was it about you at first?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Until that moment when I thought that on stage, and then to have that happen to me afterwards, and it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes by Robin Williams. I've got on my wall. It says, everyone you meet is battling something you know nothing about. Always be kind. And kind of similar, right? We never know the difference we're going to make, whether it's a smile, a wave, holding the door open for somebody. You have no idea what that person's going through.
Yeah.
And acts of service, acts of gratitude is what allows us to be happy, right? It's that endorphins. It's that feel good, happy joy. And when we share that, especially at work, right? I mean, how many times, you know, have you missed an opportunity to say hi to a coworker?
Yeah.
I thought maybe I need a hug or a high five or something, right? So it's always stuck with me. But, you know, the things that we do, we never know the difference we can make in someone else's life.
Yeah, so two things here. So and I've said this before in this podcast, that the giver in an act of kindness often receives the same, if not more, than the recipient themselves. And so when we give the opportunity for other people to be happy, we get those endorphins kicking and we feel good.
Yeah.
The other thing you made me think about, can you read that Robin Williams quote again? That's up on your wall. Can you read that?
Oh yeah. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always.
Does that, in hindsight, like, was that maybe prophetic based on what was he battling something in his life?
Yeah, he had Louis dementia, right? And so, and I don't know Robin Williams. I don't know the situation, but he died by suicide.
Yeah.
But from what I know of him and what I've read and what I've heard, I think he just got to the point where his mind wasn't working and he couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's weird because a lot of people will ask me, well, where does all your humor come from? You know, what childhood trauma or pain have you had? And I've experienced all different kinds of emotion, but I've never had like the major childhood trauma or major accident or anything like that. I've loved making people laugh. Like, I was a stupid kid in grade school doing dumb things, not jackass kind of stuff.
Right, but, right.
You know, just being different and being weird, because when I can make somebody laugh, that's what makes me happy.
Do you ever use, because a lot of comedians do this, you ever use a lot of self-deprecating?
Oh, all the time.
Material. So is there, like, because, like, I wonder this sometimes, because I've heard that, I see that, and it's like almost like the reverse of an affirmation. They say you keep saying affirmations about yourself and they come true. So is there a reverse possibility that you keep being self-deprecating about yourself on stage, you start to actually believe it?
Yeah, I guess maybe. I don't know. I haven't sat on a counselor's chair in a while.
Let's do that right now.
Right? I feel like you're grilling me, man. No. For sure. But, you know, I used to have a joke about, I used to, you know, I need to lose weight. I used to weigh 8 pounds, 6 ounces. you know, which some people say is self-deprecating, but to me, it's like, duh. I mean, everybody weighed 8 pounds, 6 ounces at one point, right?
Yeah, right.
So,
that's funny.
Yeah, no, I was just talking with my friend Jason Wange the other day, and he has affirmations. He has one for his life, for his family, and for his job. And he showed me, he goes, I have one. He goes, I have one in my backpack. I have one in my office. And he goes, I have one in my shower. I'm like, you are kidding me. And he holds it up. He held one up and he has them laminating. He's got one hanging in his shower. He's like, when he's scrubbing his hair, he's doing his personal affirmations. And I think that's great, right? Because words awesome. Do matter.
Yeah, you know? They do.
Even if it's just a slip of the tongue, you know, people can take it to mean a different thing. And we just, we have to be so careful. And you know, like we were talking before the show, even talking about suicide, right? Back in the day when I had people, friends of mine, take their lives, but I used to say committed suicide. Well, that's the wrong word to use, right? Committed is you've done a crime, you're going to prison. You know, died by suicide or they took their own life is the way to do it. And, you know, it used to really irk me when I learned to switch the vernacular. So when I hear other people say committed, I would get really frustrated. But now I just say, hey, can I ask you a question about what you just said and get permission? I said, here was my experience. Here's what I've learned going through the death of my stepdaughter's father. And I just want to let you know, because the new way of saying it is this way versus the old way. And I've never had once not one time if somebody said, well, that's stupid. Why are you, you know, because I do it out of love. I do it out of caring. I'm not putting someone down or going, well, you're an idiot for saying it that way.
Yeah.
So but that's what I mean by words matter, whether it's you're talking about suicide or life or, you know, daily affirmations on where we want to go.
So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. You talked about that pivot. So when Robin Williams shared that comment with you, that's when it went from you to others?
Yep. I wanted to give them the opportunity to laugh instead of, hey, laugh at me. And, right. And I got better. I got more laughs.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, I was chiseling away, right?
Yeah, yeah,
at my comedy. And obviously, I need to chisel more around my dad belt. But
So, yeah, I'm trying to be serious here, Greg. No.
but yeah, my stand-up got better.
So two things were happening. You were getting chiseled, and you were help chiseling other people.
Yeah.
Right, and you're bringing them around, and I think that's just that's awesome because it's a gift, it's a skill to get up there and do that, and
yeah.
All those people out there, like you said, you never really had it where people it was just like a flat line. You always make people laugh.
Yeah.
So what's in the future? Because you've been doing this, the coaching and the speaking. So tell me about the coaching piece. Tell people about that.
Yeah, well, I work with leaders and CEOs on how to work happy, right? I mean, it's lonely at the top. I mean, I know you've run a small business as well too, right? The
yes.
buck stops with you. And when you get stressed or frustrated, who do you have to go and talk to or who can you dump on, right? At times, right. You can't dump on your employees. You don't want to come home and dump on your family. And so it's just, you know, daily reminder or weekly reminder when we have coaching sessions, where do you want to go? How do you want to do this? Or, you know, sometimes, you know, people will just vent and we need that, right? Instead of bottling it up and then blowing a gasket. Like if you have somebody and I, you know, I've got 4 or 5 speaker friends that, you know, that I can call up and talk to. We, out of this whole process of Rachel losing her dad, I got involved with a suicide prevention group here in Walla Walla. And we created a group called Men in the Middle because the biggest, I can't even think of the word, but the most common people who take their own lives are men in the trades, 25 to 45. That's the biggest range. And what the research has found out in talking to people who have attempted to take their lives, if they only had, you know, somebody to talk to, it didn't have to be a counselor. It didn't have to be a doctor. You know, there's even instances of strangers walking by, someone standing on a bridge, getting ready to jump. And say, hey, you don't want to do this. I want to talk to you. I want to have a conversation with you. Right. And that can help get that person out of that frame of mind for that 5 or 10 minutes. And then you can talk to them and people can get help from professionals, right? Whether it's your doctor or your counselor, psychologist, whatever. And so we started a group for men here in our town, and it's on Facebook. It's just Men in the Middle. And every once a month, we go down to our Christian Aid Center and we cook and we serve dinner to the homeless people.
Yeah.
But it's five, six guys in a kitchen, half of us not knowing what we're doing, right? But we're bonding and we're sharing and we're caring and we're talking about our kids. We're talking about our marriages. We're talking about our work. So then when stuff does go sideways, I've got a group of 25 guys I can reach out to and say, hey, you've got a teenage daughter. What the hell?
Yeah, right?
But I can't say that to my daughter, or sometimes I can't say that to my wife. But so the venting and helping, and that's what the coaching really helps with that. And then, you know, the Work Happy game plan or program is the steps, that the nine steps we can take. So we do have self-care for ourselves. So we do feel more connected with each other in the workplace. And how do we be more productive and talk to each other about stuff that really matters, just not what we did on the weekend.
So before you got into the Work Happy movement, did you, you were doing stand-up comedy for 12 years.
Yeah.
Did you always have four or five guys you could go to? Or were there times, was there a time when, like, okay, I'm lonely, I got nobody to talk to?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We started this Men in the Middle group 2 years ago.
Okay.
A year and a half ago. Tomorrow night, we're going out for a pub night. Right. Yeah. Just hanging out. You know, as soon as it gets nice, we're going to golf and whatnot. But yeah. And, you know, the one of the factors that allows people to work happy, or if you enjoy your job, is if you have at least one good friend at work. You know, most of us, they say, surround yourself with the five best people. Not that's who you're going to gravitate to, or that's what you're going to be like. You know, 5-10 years ago, everybody had three good friends. With social media and everything else, we're down to 1.5 good friends.
Yeah, because on Facebook, they might have 4,000 friends, but they're not really friends, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? I probably should out myself, but I've been using the birthday updates. If I haven't talked to anybody in 5 years, I unfriend them.
Is that right? Yeah.
Right? Because just because I went to high school with them and I haven't seen them in 35, that's not a friend.
No.
That's an acquaintance. That's somebody who you knew, right? Unless you want to get back, you know, in touch with people. But I would say I probably got 5 or 6 really good guy friends that I can call up at any point, anytime, and ask them questions. Or, you know, I'm frustrated with my marriage, or I'm frustrated with my kid, or, you know, and just because I'm the Work Happy guy doesn't mean every day is great, right? It's a process. It's a daily process.
So what do you do when you hit that? I know you said you got the 4 or 5 guys you talk to. So if you wake up and it's not a great day and you can't get a hold of those 4 or 5 guys, is there a process you go through, or can you take us through that process you go through to get yourself out of it?
Yeah. Well, usually every morning I get up, I exercise, I read, and then I do breathing exercises for 5 minutes and I meditate for 20. And that usually allows me to get into that space. And I'm going to start journaling as well too. I just had this guy on my podcast yesterday. Paul Epstein is a purpose coach. And he was sharing with me what he does in his gratitude journal. He sits down, he writes about one thing in his calendar that day that he's looking forward to. So, for instance, it would be this podcast talking to you, right?
Yeah.
I woke up this morning, I'm like, I get to talk to Rob. We had a great phone conversation. I was at Starbucks. He was driving somewhere. And so, you know, I could sit down and I could write gratitude, how thankful I am for being on this podcast, right? Because I'm not only sharing what I know with you, but I'm sharing it with all the listeners.
Yes.
And so I was grateful for that. So when we do that, it puts us in the right headset. But, you know, there's days that go sideways, and I'll call, I'll reach out. And if that doesn't work, I'll go take a nap. I'll go golf. But, you know, we have to be a little bit more selfish. We need to take care of ourselves before we can take care of others.
Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me the first thing you do when you get up is tell yourself a joke.
Yeah. But no, that's one of the things is laugh every day, right?
Yeah.
Put in your calendar, whether, you know, you like offsides comedy or, you know, PG comedy, whatever makes you laugh. And then, you know, I started the Humor Lab as a way during COVID to showcase to allow me to laugh with other people, but everybody's been piling on and sharing their jokes. It's PG-13 and no politics. And we have 36,000 people from around the world.
It's a great. So you started with that. Before we leave, let's run through this real quick, because this is one of the ways you get a hold of Greg. He's got this Humor Lab. It's a Facebook page, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So tell everybody how this started out, and you already said where it is now. Just real, if you would, do that
for me. Yeah, no, it was a month or two into the pandemic, and I wasn't able to get up on stage or, you know, go out and see, you know, we'd see our neighbors walking by kind of thing. And so I just started this group, and I sent it out to 20 of my buddies and said, hey, do you mind sharing this? I woke up. There's 152 people on this group. I'm like, there might be something here. And I spent zero money on this thing. It's just anytime a person would add, I'm like, hey, welcome. Thanks for sharing. You're funny. And I still do that. But now we got 36,000 people. And I get emails, or not emails, but Facebook messages all the time on thanks for making me laugh. You know, one guy on the East Coast, he was going through a divorce. His kid was sick and he lost his job. They said, if it wasn't for Facebook Lab, I don't know where, or the Humor Lab, I don't know where I'd be, right? Every day he comes home and he gets on there. And it's been awesome.
I got a feeling you're going to get a few more attendees to the Humor Lab after this, right? That's great. So do you feel like the hand of Providence has been behind all this? God, you think God's behind all
that? Yeah. I'm not sure exactly where the belief system. I know there's a higher power. I don't know exactly what that is. I guess you'd say a journey myself, but there's always something. I'm a big believer in karma. What you put out there, you get back. And whether that's God or a higher power or Buddha or whatever it is, right? But I think if we take care of each other, take care of ourselves, the world's, you know, a much, much better place.
And you're doing your part to make it a better place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how much more chiseling do we got going on in your life here coming up?
Well, I'm almost perfect, Rob. You know that.
That's an affirmation.
Yeah, absolutely. And Becky, don't snicker at that if you hear this podcast. but yeah, no, I'm a work in progress. I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, there's days where I'm like, no, I need to do over. But, you know, but again, Rob, the more I help other people, the more help I get back. It fills me up, and you never know what we do, how it's going to help someone. And I'll tell this one more story, but I had a friend that I was working with back in Seattle. We were workmates. And she and I kind of kept on touch through Facebook over the years. She got married, then I got married, and, you know, every once in a while, whatever the feed, we'd see each other, and I noticed one day that she was into running on trails and stuff, doing trail running, and so I'm like, hey, it looks like you're really happy, and blah, 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 and I always try and put out these, you know, inspirational, look, just, so, I don't know what it was, but I think it was like, you matter to me, and that's all it said, right on the Facebook post, and I got a message from her. Must have been about 3 or 4 pages long, and saying, hey, thank you so much for all the positivity you put out here. She goes, I've really been struggling with my mental health. I'm going through a divorce. And she said, on my trail run, there's this one trail that kind of, there's a cliff on one side. And one day I was like, you know what? Maybe if I just ran off that cliff, that would be it. Nobody would care. Nobody would know. Right. And she goes, but I read one of your posts and thought, I still matter to Greg Kettner.
Wow.
And I just got shivers, right?
Wow.
It's we put the stuff out there, and I never know what it's going to resonate with people. But when you do hear stories like that, it's my purpose. It's what I was made to do.
Wow.
And some days I feel like, well, I wish I would have started this earlier, but I don't think I would have been ready. You know, it's the chiseling, right?
It's the chiseling, and you know the answer to this. When the student's ready, the teacher will come, and now you're the student that you were and are, now you're ready. And now this thing is going to take off for you, and you're going to be helping, you know, thousands and thousands of people. And I'm going to introduce you to a buddy of mine. He's got a You Matter movement. His name's awesome. Mark Berdinsky. And I would love to make that introduction for you. And he's got these You Matter cards, and he awesome. Gives them out where we go. And it's funny sometimes. And he'll hear this. He'll hear this podcast. And we were just in Nashville. And you go to several different, you know, clubs or bars or whatnot. And he was going up giving it to the singers. And like sometimes he'll give the card, and he might get mad at me for saying this, but he's waiting for their reaction or their response.
Yeah.
And we bust his chops about it a little bit, but he's like a kid doing this and like, be of little children, yeah. Right? That's what God says. And so it's the kid in him that's coming out sometimes, but he's giving people this card. And we were at this one place and the band was still playing, but she wasn't singing. So she came off and he gives her the card. And then she goes back up and she's like, I got to tell everybody. I just met this guy and he gives me this card. And I was having a really bad day today. Awesome. I was having a really bad day. And she almost got emotional while she was up there. Yeah. So we all matter, right? And he's got his You Matter movement. And you got this, you know, Work Happy movement going on. And if more people did what you're doing, what we're doing, it's going to be a happier world. I think you'd agree with that, right?
Yeah. Well, thanks for giving me the platform to share it
with
your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So that said, I know we talked about the Humor Lab. If people want to get a hold of you, in addition to the Humor Lab, how else could they get a hold of you?
It's just Greg Kettner everywhere on all social media platforms. Probably LinkedIn is the best.
Okay.
Or my website is just gregkettner.com.
Great. Greg, you made me laugh today. I'm sure you're making some of the other listeners laugh today or when they hear this. And I'm very grateful that Kate connected us, and I'm grateful for your time. And it's been a pleasure. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for blessing me today.
Likewise, Rob. I appreciate you and keep doing all the good work you are doing. And hello, Kate. Happy birthday.
Belated birthday, right?
Belated.
So thank you so much, Greg. So look, everybody, until next time, let's go get chiseled.
You just got chiseled with Rob Pomodoro. Be sure to like this podcast, share it with your friends, and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, you can find Rob's book on Amazon, Better Than You Think.